I want to remind everyone that if you go to my website, which is jimmychurchradio.com, and you can just click on my name right there on the Coast to Coast AM website, simple enough to do, you can find out all of the conferences that I'll be at over the summer. I love getting out of the studio once in a while. They do let me do it on occasion, and meeting everyone. My next thing out in the real world will be the New Living Expo in San Mateo, California, just right south of the San Francisco airport, April 29th through May 1st. We'll see you there. It's going to be a great weekend. Love meeting everybody. Our guest tonight is Jay Widener, The Quest Falconelli. Your calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I am sitting in for George tonight on this Good Friday. Our guest is Jay Widener. Phones are jammed. It's Friday night. Open lines. Jay, you've started a fire tonight, and we've got to start knocking some of this out. Let's go to Wild Card Bronx and Joe. Joe, say hi to Jay Widener.
Hey, how you doing, Jay? Yeah. I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned the distilled water earlier and its effects on arterial calcification. Can you elaborate a little bit on the amount that should be consumed daily of the distilled water? And I understand that you mentioned it should just be for a two-month period and then you switch back to regular water.
Great call. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, you just do whatever your daily amount. You know, everybody should be drinking at least a gallon of water a day anyway. I have a distiller and I distill my water and I drink it. And, keep it in glass. Don't keep it in plastic because it sucks all the toxins out of everything it touches. So if you put it in plastic, it's going to suck all the toxins and the oil that the plastic is made out of into your water. So you don't want to buy plastic distilled water at the store or anything like that. You want to buy a distiller and do it yourself and keep everything in glass. And what distilled water does is, if anybody who understands distilled water, is because it has no minerals in it at all, it sucks all minerals up everywhere it goes. The calcification in your pineal gland, your arterial walls, and in your heart, and in your brain, by the way, too, is caused by the heavy-duty minerals that are in the water. So when you drink distilled water, that goes in and sucks all of the minerals out of everywhere.
What does it do to your bones, Jay?
Distilled water?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. If you switch it off, if you do it every other 2 months on, 2 months off, you're fine. I don't think it has any effect on your bones, actually. I don't think it has any effect on anything. You could probably drink distilled water all the time like Tesla did. But I still believe that, you know, it's probably best to get some minerals through the water. Although I will say that my research shows that actually no minerals are actually gained through water or actually taking calcium pills or anything like that. The only way that you can really get your minerals is through plants. And a high fiber, high plant-based, high alkaline diet. And that's really the only real way that you can get it. So people who think that they're getting minerals by drinking water, I'm not sure that's a real thing. But what drinking water does is it does calcify everything up. And as you get older, the more water you drink, the more chalky materials go into your system. Anyone who does drink distilled water, by the way, will see what's left in the residual in the pan after you're done,
right,
of the street water that you're drinking.
Right.
And you will think twice about drinking street,
right,
water out of your tap, believe me, because there's a black, oily substance that is at the bottom that is really distasteful.
Let's go to west of the Rockies, Riverside, California, Dave. Dave, welcome to Coast to Coast. Say hi to Jay Widener.
Yes, sir. Jay and Jimmy, thanks for taking my call. I am interested in doing my own research on this, and I need to know the spelling of that cross. I know it's pronounced Henday. How is that spelled?
H-E-N-D-A-Y-E. And if you're speaking, you know, old French, the word, it would be actually pronounced end day. which is a double entendre on what the cross is talking about. It's talking about
right,
the
enemy. Right. And I briefly missed a portion of the beginning of your description of the origin. Can you describe again how it was you came about the discovery of this particular cross?
Through a book called Mysteries of the Cathedrals by Fulcanelli, second to the last chapter is about the cross.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Dave, and you have a great, safe night. We'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast. Let's go to first-time caller line, Rick. Welcome to Coast AM from Coldwater, Michigan.
Awesome, guys. I'm glad to be talking with you, Jay. I emailed you a while back because when I was watching 2001, I watched the movie first, then I watched your epic essay on it, and I got to tell you, I mean, you're brilliant. I've followed you for years. I think your perspective is really important. And while I was watching that, I was pricked in the spirit to watch The Passion, because I do have a passion. I do have a passion for God on this Easter. You know, Jesus said, if you love God with all your heart, mind, and spirit, you know, if you do that, which is the hardest thing in the world to do, because there's so much going on, just to put God first above everything else, you know, that's how you get it. You know what I mean? And it's really hard it is the most hardest path to follow. You're not going to have a whole lot of friends, you know. But I think the overall message is that when I watched The Passion of the Christ, I emailed you afterwards and you did respond. But I already knew the message, the symbolism and stuff in there. It just immediately clicked. And so I guess my question is, you know, when you watched the 2001 movie, was it like that for you when you watched it the first time? Because, I mean, I watched it the first time. I didn't see half of what you were talking about. And then after I watched your movie, it all clicked, you know what I mean? So thanks for that. And keep on being out there, brother. I love you both, and have a blessed weekend.
Thank you so much, Rick, for the phone call. He brings up a good point, Jay, because the first time I saw 2001, I got none of your stuff out of it. Now, when I watch 2001, it's one big distraction. Same thing with The Shining. But how long did it take you to start to see the symbolism and the messages?
Well, I mean, I saw the movie, you know, when it came out, and I was just a teenager. And I knew that I'd seen something profound, but I wasn't sure what. And, I was completely paralyzed in the theater. My girlfriend had taken me to see it. She'd seen it the night before and was so blown away that she wanted me to see it. And I didn't know what to make of it. And so I continued kind of on my own odyssey with it, where I watched it kind of over and over, maybe 20, 30 times. And it finally, in just a few weeks after Stanley Kubrick died in 1999, one snowy Saturday, I had the complete revelation about the movie, that what it really was saying. And it was just filled with synchronicities, this revelation. And I immediately wrote it all down, and, the rest is legend, I guess.
Let's go to Bob, east of the Rockies, Taylor, Michigan. Bob, welcome to Coast AM. Say hi to Jay Widener.
Hi, Jay, and hi, Jimmy. The very first time I heard you, Jimmy, you had Daniel Shane on, and, man, that was just an incredible show. Really enlightened me about history and what I didn't know about history. And Jay, every time you're scheduled to be on, I always stay up late to watch it. But, you mentioned something about the GMOs and about the chemtrails that they're putting out, that they might actually be trying, the government might be actually trying to protect us from the solar flares and what are they, the EMPs that could, take out the grids and all that other brutal stuff that it could do. And I was wondering, like about 6 months ago, there was a, the military put up a big balloon. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a satellite balloon that they put up on the East Coast, and it got away from its cables.
Yeah, broke its tether. Yes.
Yeah, the broken tether, and it floated across two states. But that was, I listened to that on the TV news, and then right after that, I switched channels, and there was a solar flare that went off the day before that they were really worried about. And I was wondering if they had put that up there for just in case for like emergency communications if it did take out the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And, just your thoughts on that, because there was like 70 mile an hour winds that day.
Yeah.
Who would launch a balloon up into the air, into the sky at 60, 70, 80 mile an hour gust of wind?
Yeah, that's interesting, Bob. And thank you for the phone call. I do remember that.
I do too.
I do. And I remember the solar flare. Absolutely. And it's interesting how that's the great thing about the Coast audience, right? They remember, they're smart. And that is connecting the dots right there. Did you think about that when it happened?
I haven't, but now that I think about it, I think there might be some credibility there.
Yeah, that's an interesting connection.
It is.
All right, let's go to the wild card, Wendell in Westminster. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Say hi to Jay Widener.
Good evening, Jimmy and Jay. I'm really enjoying your show. I had a thought, and I'd like to get your comment on it. We know that we have a lot of junk DNA in us that is of undefined purpose. There's a lot of speculation on the part of anthropologists and geneticists and others about what is this DNA for. There's an unexplained gap in human development and advancement between advanced apes and humans, and they haven't been able to explain that. Is it possible that our corner of the multiverse and those who helped design it and foster its creation and our growth within it had a plan in its unfolding, and that these elders have chosen to modulate the nature of the energy that is emanating from this invisible spiritual sun at the core of our galaxy, sending a signal to our star, the sun, which in turn modifies its frequency and color temperature, and maybe the difference in that light triggers and unlocks the potential that this latent unknown junk DNA contains, which may not be junk at all. We just don't understand it. And then causes a growth spurt and begins, and the next chapter unfolds. So I can take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Wendell. Jay, it sounds like he was listening to our conversation at the bar a couple of months ago.
I was going
to
say, bingo.
Exactly.
Whoever that guy was, he actually knows what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And that is the great message of alchemy, and is that, you know, we are governed by higher forces, and yeah, the sun is a portal to a deeper secret sun that is, you know, not, if you want to call it God or whatever, you can do it, call it whatever you want, but it's the central intelligence of the universe, and yeah, it dictates through the frequency and the changing light patterns of the sun through our eyes into the pineal gland, changing our consciousness, changing our physical nature, and changing our spirit. And that is the key and the answer. And yes, we're at a shimmering higher frequency now. There's going to be a lot of collisions, and psychological things are going to happen on one hand. On the other hand, there's going to be a great enlightenment, and there's going to be shows like this with people who are waking up and comparing notes and helping each other. It's going to be a great world.
Let's go out to New Jersey, wild card line, Edward. Ed, welcome to Coast to Coast, and say hi to Jay Widener.
Yes, you hit the mark exactly, the idea of the achievement of an extended lifespan for a spiritual purpose that is contacting our spiritual selves. This is the purpose of life, and there is a book. Well, I wanted to know all about that, how you did this. Something has happened that our lifespans have been artificially shortened. I believe we were intended to live hundreds of years, as, for example, in the early chapters of Genesis, where Adam lived to be 930. I think there was a Methuselah, 967, and so on. And after Noah, after the time of Noah, which was on Atlantis, the lifespans gradually shortened after the introduction of meat. I wanted to know all about this process that you mentioned. Is the distilled water thing all that there is to it, or is there more? And also, you might know a book by Moni Vital. He's a writer in Pacific Palisades. He describes a process of physical immortalism by the elimination of the addiction to food. And he mentions a process of 21 days for the elimination of all food to a living on pranic energy. And he refers to a book by an Australian writer named Jess Muheen. The title of her book is Living on Light. The book is extremely scarce in this country. I wondered if you were aware of any of this, and if you could direct me to further information, about what you were describing.
Thank you for the call, Edward. Very interesting. Thank you so much. What do you think?
You might have the most intelligent audience I've ever come up against.
Exactly.
What can I say about that? I don't want to encourage people to go down this path without, you know, a lot of preparation, because, you know, I don't want you to starve to death thinking that you can live off of sunlight.
Or air, right.
Or air. But, it does absolutely make sense. And I've talked to, you know, top people who in this field what I call the electric body. And I'm talking about people who are neurosurgeons making $100,000 a day, who are investigating this kind of stuff. And they tell me that it is not, health is not caloric affected. It's light affected. And that a daily dose of staring, you know, not directly into the sun, but looking askance at the sun, especially in the early morning, is really the key to the success of your electric body. And I do this, and I practice this every day, and I believe it, and I know it, and I know I still eat food, but I've noticed that the more I practice my early morning staring at the sun, and you can't do it through a window, it has to be direct, because the window blocks the UV, I've noticed that my appetite has decreased, and that I don't need as much food as I used to need, and I feel better. And yes, the previous caller is exactly right. There is a great documentary called Eat the Sun, which is all about this, and I highly recommend people watch it.
What about sunglasses?
I don't think you should probably be wearing sunglasses.
That's interesting. And really quick, before we hit this break, this just came off of Twitter. It's Easter. Ask Jay that the Gnostics believe in esoteric knowledge, and is this their path to salvation, and is Hendai that path?
Yes, actually, that's right. And, you know, I don't know how much time we have, but Easter is a very interesting ritual, because Jesus died on the cross, and then he was taken into a dark cave for 3 days, and then he was transmuted into being an immortal being.
Yeah, let's stop right there, Jay. We're going to hit a break, and we'll pick that up on the backside. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Jay Widener. It is a Falconelli quest. Taking your calls next. Our guest tonight is Jay Widener. It is Friday. It's open lines. More of your phone calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight on this Good Friday. Our guest is Jay Widener. We've been on a Falconelli quest. Let's go back to the phones. Santa Maria on the wild card. Gary, say hi to Jay Widener.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Jay, I had a suspicion, or actually more intuition than suspicion, that Michio Kaku talks about class one and class two civilizations. And in line with what your other caller said about the balloon and the sun flare, one day before the Carrington event, and I think most of this audience knows what the Carrington event was, when the telegraph lines burned up and caught fire. One day before that, we drilled our first functional oil well, which was a landmark for the way our society developed. If a class one or class two had the ability of creating a stargate or a wormhole around or near an existing sunspot. And of course, Earth is 1,300,000 times smaller than the sun. Most sunspots would dwarf the size of the Earth. They could create an on-demand sun flare if they got irritated with us enough. And I also think that emotion from this planet, right after Katrina, sun flares like crazy. Some of the coast shows, you know, I've been tracking. It's so easy to look at the top 50 sun flares, see what was going on in the news. Our elections, after heated, emotional elections, we always get hit with a flurry of sun flares.
Well, that's Gary, I want to thank you for the call, and that's very interesting. And I'm not cutting you up, but I've got a bunch of calls that I need to get to before the end of the night. And I want Jay to have the chance to comment on this. I think it's very important. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself. And yeah, I think there is a direct relation. I think that the pressures that we all feel on Earth right now are somewhat started by this change in the sun. And we're having a lot of trouble dealing with the higher frequencies of this wider sun that we're going through. And it's causing great stress and a lot of disturbances here on Earth. And I think we're in a very precarious position right now where the people who don't like this thing are really getting disturbed. And we're seeing, you know, all sorts of terrible things going on. So, yeah, I think there's a direct relation.
Let's go to Tony in South Jersey, east of the Rockies. Tony, say hi to Jay Widener.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling from around right outside of Atlantic City, and I'm going to try to keep this story as short as possible. But just recently, I own a house. Okay. I meet a girl. She's down on her luck. I let her move in. That's story short. She moves into a room, and I don't say anything, but there's always been strange stuff going on in that room. I've seen all types of stuff in there, and let me just tell you, I'm getting really nervous talking about this. The girl starts acting crazy. She acts like she's all possessed. She starts foaming out of the mouth. She starts having delusions. She starts, like, rubbing through stuff. She starts grabbing a knife, and she's clearly possessed, and I've clearly seen things in that room that I don't even feel comfortable talking about. I'm not sure if it's extraterrestrial to her or what. But I was wondering if there's a way alchemy can help or alchemy can do anything to ward off evil spirits, or if there's any research you suggest for that, because I'm having a real tough time and I fear for my life.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Tony. Can alchemy help something like that, Jay?
Well, I think, you know, you have to realize that there are areas on Earth where there are portals between dimensions, so to speak, that are easier in some places than in others. And it sounds like you're in a place where this is happening, and I think you might want to think about moving.
Well, not to make light of it, but yeah.
I mean, really, there are bad places. And, you know, we just willy-nilly put houses and buildings on ground without thinking about what we're doing.
And that's right.
Frequently, the Native Americans warned the white people, you know, don't build a city here. Don't build. This is not a good place. And we just went ahead and did it. And I think maybe we're just not as connected to the land as we should be and the spiritual nature of the land. And I think that there are places that probably are not wise to build.
Speaking of spiritual nature, we're going to swing back to the west here and go to the Mojave Desert. Art, say hi to Jay Widener. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, Jim. Jay, what a great program. My goodness. Yeah, I just wanted to mention to Jay there that you're talking about Tesla earlier. And the reason he started drinking distilled or boiled water is because he was able to look through a microscope and see the little creatures that were in there. And he had some brushes with cholera. I knew his hometown was wiped out pretty bad by it. So that was his reason, was just the little monsters in there. But, gosh, I caught that food alley just as I was coming in, and it was just an amazing program. Really loved to hear about this. And I've read the English translation of Mystery of the Cathedral is a fantastic book. And I have a question for you. Is on the base of that pedestal, when I'm looking at one of the faces there with the bisected circle with the four alphas on it, just a thought, could that possibly be directly on the, could that possibly be a latitude-longitude indicator? So if you put that onto a globe, if it is anything below
Your call is dropping out, but I'll go ahead and repeat that to Jay. Could it be an indicator for a map or a location?
Yeah, it could be. One thing I've learned about the Cross of Hende is that it's like a zip file. You know, it looks like it's just a simple thing, and then when you double-click on it, you just get reams and reams of information. And so, yeah, you know, I pretty much think that all things are possible once you start looking at it. It was built to be a thing that would unravel itself, and if you wanted to investigate it, you would find many, many secrets.
Let's go out to Las Vegas. John, wild card. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Say hi to Jay Widener.
Hey, Jay. Great job. The Nazis supposedly found the Knights Templars, Solomon's treasures somewhere in southern France. Was that near that hill you mentioned where that cross was, where Hitler kissed the cross?
Well, I mean, you know, France is about the size of say Wyoming and Colorado combined. It's not really a very big place compared to America. And so if you drove from where the Nazis were doing their digs, which is really around Mont Ségur and Rennes-les-Châteaux,
right,
about 4 or 5 hours drive to the west to get to Hende. And when Hitler took his famous train ride across southern France in 1940, it should be noted that he stopped at every one of these interesting places. He stopped at Mont Ségur. He stopped at Rennes-les-Châteaux. He stopped at Hende. He was steeped in this knowledge of the occult. All the Germans were. And, you know, he knew what he was doing, and he was going to these places for a reason. And, by the way, the great treasure of that they found was near Rennes-les-Châteaux, you know. So, I mean, this story is huge.
Yeah, what about the white gold powder? Do you know about that? The alchemist, it's a healing powder. They turn gold into this white powder.
Yeah, monatomic gold. Yeah, that's a great question, John, and thank you for the call.
Okay.
Yeah, well, with the monatomic gold, I don't think it's the secret of alchemy, but I think it is a secret that is interesting. And I don't recommend it because I'm afraid that people might get heavy metal poisoning from it. So I kind of eschew it. But at the same time, you know, it is very interesting because it transmutes itself and it lowers electrical resistance in the body, which is all very interesting.
Let's go up north, Sacramento. Jerry on Wild Card. Say hi to Jay Widener. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Jay, and thanks, Jim, for taking my call. I picked up on your message about the distilled water. Interesting, maybe because I'm getting older, and so youthful things seems like might be cool. But then I heard you talking about the sun being able to survive on that. Have you seen the documentary "Eat the Sun"? Eating the Sun, I think it is.
Yeah, I recommended it earlier. Yeah, it's a great.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that part.
Yeah, it's a very interesting documentary.
Jerry, did you have a question for Jay?
That's what I was going to ask him about, though.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the phone call. And let's go to Missouri. Oh, I'm sorry. No, let me back up. Texas, east of the Rockies, Angel. Welcome to Coast AM.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. It's a fabulous topic, everything that you're talking about. I'm working in the marine industry, in the yachting industry, in the commercial industry for many years. And I do a lot of varnishing and working out in the sun. And I have noticed a big difference between the feeling of the heat of the sun present to 10 or 15 years ago, and also the effects of the UVs on the varnishes that we use when we varnish the boats don't last as long as they used to. There's a very big difference in our times today.
Very interesting. I've heard this a lot. House painters have also told me that house paints don't last as long as they used to. That it used to be a guaranteed 25 years, and now they're lucky to get 15 years out of it.
I agree with you. I don't know if it's my age, but I used to go out in the sun with no shirt on, being a Latino. And we're having a pigmentation that can take the sun a lot. And presently, I go out there and I'll burn a lot more than what I used to be able to handle.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Thank you for the call, Angel. Yeah, I don't think any of us used sunscreen when we were kids. Let's go to first time caller line, Jonathan up in Mountain View. Jonathan, welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I was calling, you were speaking about light and water earlier in the show, and I was curious if utilizing light to energize the water, because I know water is vulnerable and susceptible to manipulation, such as vibrations, and if drinking that water that's vibrating at potential healthy cycles, if that would feed our bodies and virtually eliminate the necessity for food. And the other thing I'd like to ask, and I'll take my answers off the air, the Egyptians had created large, what appeared to be hot tubs that had three holes in the upper region. And after further investigation, they determined that these hot tub looking creations were made of quartz.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And these tubs had no drain.
That's right.
And the only reasonable conclusion one of very few reasonable conclusions that you would come to if it does not have a drain would be holy water. So I'm wondering, quote unquote, holy water. So I'm wondering if they were vibrating water in these reservoirs, and Egyptians were actually maybe potentially bathing in this water that's vibrating at healthy vibrations. And I was curious if light could potentially do the same thing. I'll take my answers off the air. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. I don't know, Jay, if you've ever seen these. They're about 6 feet, right? They're pretty large.
Yep.
And there's a whole row of them. You know, there's like 20 of them.
Yep.
That's a very interesting point about that. What do you think?
Well, I think it's actually exactly right. I think that water is an amazingly magical substance. And when you mix light and water together, especially through quartz, you know, you get all sorts of interesting things that go on. And, the Egyptians just knew so much more than we give them credit for. And they are, you know, you look at Egyptian iconography and statues, and they very much knew about the pineal gland. They got a serpent coming out of the forehead,
right?
You know, and they're telling you this is that you have to make the pineal gland, you know, you have to work on it. And the entire purpose of ancient Egypt was the quest for immortality.
Let's go to one last call. British Columbia, our international line, Don. Say hi to Jay Wyden and welcome to Coast.
Hello, yes. I just wanted to, I read the Enoch 1, and I wonder if your guest has read Enoch 1. It seems to be everything that he's got in that book came out of Enoch 1. And at Enoch 1, there is a bunch of books missing that were dictated to Enoch himself by God, according to the book Enoch. And they were dictated. They are still missing. Has he ever heard about them?
Thank you so much, Don.
Oh, yeah, the Book of Enoch, and I heard there are other missing books of Enoch. Probably the Vatican Library has them, but yeah, that is, the Book of Enoch is a jaw-dropping book, and I recommend everybody read it. And, you know, it was only discovered about 200 years ago, rediscovered. And, you know, it really tells an amazing story about a group of don't know, aliens that are taking over the earth, and how, you know, God and Enoch have to fight to stop them, and, you know, and they're threatened to come back again. And I think there's a lot of truth to that story.
Jay, what are you doing next? I want to thank you for coming on tonight and hanging out and doing some overtime and taking phone calls. Totally awesome. But what are you doing next?
Right now I work for Gaia, the online streaming service, and I do a lot of their original programming, but I'm doing a series for them called Deep Space, an examination of the secret space program. I've got a lot of whistleblowers breaking loose right now who want to come on and tell their story, and it's an amazing story, which actually fits in with everything that we've been talking about tonight.
Thank you so much, Jay. And again, your website, jaywidener.com and sacredmysteries.com. Jay Widener, you are the absolute very best. Thank you so much.
So are you, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right. Now, a couple of things. Thank you, Jay. I don't know if you guys caught this, but last night it happened once again, an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel, and it was Hillary Clinton. And here we have a politician, again, expressing a positive perspective of UFOs, of ETs, of Area 51, and Jimmy Kimmel went straight there. If you haven't seen it, you can catch it right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Twitter is on fire tonight, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter, at JChurchRadio. We're opening up the phone lines. Let's do this. Your calls for the duration. This is Coast to Coast AM.